missed his opportunity on Artie, and Gerrit Gomez, you know, capitalizing. You know, I'm sure there's an interesting story that Jimmy can relate.
I'm sure. I remember when Migliori hurt his wrist, and he couldn't ride, and so they had to, you know, again, we were saying before, I mean, who would you want more than anybody if you needed to go to the bullpen? Well, if that was the guy, was Gerrit. And, you know, to what you just said a few minutes ago, you alluded to about not winning.
We're back. Sorry, that happened in Florida. Casey got knocked out with everything. So we lost. He lost phones. He lost power and internet. Everything. So, but it, what was that? It was about 14 minutes, 15 minutes. And for those of you that are wondering if you know it was a way to stop Haskin from talking. No. All right, I'm gonna pay for that one. That's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll get. He just texted me. He said, "What happened?" I said, "Outage in Florida." And so, don't tell him. Don't tell him what I said. Seth Merrow standing by. Seth, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And many returns.
What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means?
That's a good question. Well, I guess hopefully we're wishing it to you again many New Year's down the road, I guess.
It just occurred. Let me see. Here we go. Many happy returns meaning. because it's not something you hear as much as you used to, right?
No, you're right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it has lost its position in the vernacular. Certainly, yes.
Used,
I would agree with that.
Well, it says definition used as a greeting to someone on their birthday, whatever that. Since the 18th century, this has been used as a salutation to offer the hope that a happy day being marked would recur many more times.
Ah, see, there you go.
That
means I used it improperly on as in Happy New Year. Although I guess
no.
It's kind of a general to everybody. It's a renewal for everybody. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, now, see the proverbial you learn something every day, and an 18th century origin. Nice.
Who knew?
Also found on greeting cards. It is also found often on greeting cards. Tina and I had a big around the time of my birthday and Valentine's Day. We always have that discussion. Tina, this was a very big year for Christmas cards. Did you get a lot of Christmas cards this year?
I never get a whole lot, but I probably did get more. As a matter of fact, yes.
Because I think people, you know, people were around the house and they were, you know, you're looking for create activities. And so as it happens, we were somewhere, I want to say Lowe's. No, Target. We were at a Target. And this is November. And she always looks through the Christmassy stuff. And she, you know, she's big with lights, a lot of lights around the house, you know, both inside and outside. And so I said, you want to get Christmas cards? We ended up getting like four boxes. And I'm glad we did, because not only we sent out to the people we send out to every year, but we got more cards from people that we either hear from only on occasion or never. And so we had extra cards, luckily, around the house to send back to them. You know, it's like ping pong. They send you a card, you got to send one back.
Yeah, see, I'm not a good card sender, so that's why I don't get that many. It's not an activity on my agenda. But I do appreciate that you revised that story at the beginning, because if you're buying your Christmas cards at Lowe's, that's a bad Christmas move.
Well, they've got cards. They in the Christmas department.
Lowe's.
Sure. They've got like an end cap, or they've got a display, one of those temporary displays that gets shipped in. They take the cardboard off and it's an instant. Yeah, yeah, sure. Sure.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Who knew?
Yeah. This was the Targets were quite nice, actually. The part of this story is that Tina is not big on cards except for Christmas. She never sends me, I never get a birthday card, and I never get a Valentine's card from her. And I'm very big on Valentine's cards. And so it becomes a point of contention where you know, getting her to get out in front of the card purchase. And, you know, it can't be somebody that buys like a card at you know, at Stewart's, like, you know, before you get home from.
That is always funny when you're standing in line on Valentine's Day at Price Chopper, and the person in front of you has that three rows thing in their hand. That, yeah, it's a little, you know, it's 5:30 and they'll take the three roses from Price Chopper home.
Well, and now you don't want to. I don't want the Golub family being upset about this, because Price Chopper has a wonderful flower department.
They do, actually.
Good size Price Chopper. Yeah, they got a. But I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that single sleeve, you know, with some withering rose. in fact, withering rose is a favorite today at Tampa. Just kidding. this is very funny because Tina has. I'm going to get in trouble if I start down this path. I mean, I give flowers all year long, so it's not a question of, you know, showing up with flowers, but some other people she has known, gas station roses
It's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts.
No, it's not. This is also like I advised people. You know, don't. Speaking of Lowe's, you don't get your wife or serious girlfriend. You don't get them appliances for any significant.
I can see that. Hey, honey.
Yeah, that's a bad.
Here you go. Here's the vacuum cleaner you've been wanting. That's never going to go.
No. I mean, you might, maybe if they enjoy, you know, if they enjoy do-it-yourself stuff, okay, that's fine. You want to, you know, if they're big do-it-yourselfers and you want to get a paint gun, you know, the paint, the spray thing, you know, okay, that's all right. But not don't conflate. Those requests will not do you any good. So, how did you spend? You were on TV a lot. I told people Monday. I watched you on TV a lot during the holiday.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I was on New Year's Eve. I was on New Year's Day. So I watched the ball come down. You know, I made that tradition at least. But then I went to bed and came into work the next day. I mean, what could you do?
Yeah, well, you're not
wrong. Options were limited.
Good point. Yeah, they were. And now, you know, I didn't address this at all. The situation in Saratoga. I mean, all the places for that
made national news.
Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And the whole, you know, all of Broadway was closed down. I had to go to a bank and the bank was closed and said they were going to be closed until at least Thursday. And yesterday I had to go to Clifton Park, actually, to a different bank. But Saratoga,
I didn't
ends
realize
up for those
that
of you that.
I was in town. Yeah, it was probably just before this was all announced. Really, the last few months downtown has been kind of bustling, you know, when you're just people walking up and down. And I went to go into Mrs. London's just before Christmas, and there was a line out the door.
Well, for those that haven't, that are unaware, when this UK, ultra virulent strain of COVID when it landed in New York, it showed up at a prominent jewelry store in Saratoga. It's the craziest thing. Crazy. I've bought things there. Speaking of which, I've bought Tina presents there.
Yeah, like I say, it's right in the middle of Broadway, so it's, as you say, prominent. And the day after it made the news, I guess Monday night it must have been, I took a walk in the park over by the Little Theater and the Victoria Pool, so that side of the park. But the park proper, as they drove up Route 50, they had a sign and they were barricaded off. I guess they were testing people who had been to the jewelry store in the 2 weeks prior, but they were doing that out in the park. Like I say, they had things blocked off in out by Speck for people who are familiar with the area.
Yeah, no, this really shook things up, and I hadn't, it didn't even occur to me, that a bank, I didn't need to go in. I could have done a drive through deposit-y thing, but I connected. It took me about 2 seconds to connect the dots and realize what was going on, and then I saw the sign that said, "Expect to reopen Thursday." So it just doesn't. It'll end.
I mean, it's worse. Technically, you look at you watch the national news. It's worse now than it was when this all started, and people are really going nuts.
Yep.
It's a little bit scary. I mean, the vaccine's coming out now, but hopefully they just can ramp things up a little bit. And, when the vaccines first came out, I thought we're in pretty good shape, late spring, early summer. But now it's kind of like, I don't know, they're really going to have to kind of move things up the way this is all rolling out, which is not to say that can't happen. But at this point, it's slower than anticipated.
When have you looked up on the system? Have you looked up when you're getting the vaccine?
There was a website where you can type in and it asks you questions. You know, what age are you? Blah 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 blah. And there's like 7 questions, and you hit the last thing, and it comes up. And the thing that comes up says there are 72 million people in front of you. It's like, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Was that a national one, or did you do a New
York
state?
It wasn't the state. It was nationally. Yeah, I think there was 900,000 people ahead of me in the state, or so. It was another large number.
Well, it's not as high as my number, which is 14 million. There's 16 million people in the state, and I'm in the 14 million bracket. So I should have. About the time that my immunity wears off from having had it, that's when I'll be able to get in about 13 years. I'll be able to get the vaccine.
Perfect time.
It's the crazy. The good news is that those of us that have had it, the expectation. I talked about this a couple of months ago. I read the story that these researchers. There's about 4 or 5 projects that are researching immunity. And the expectation is that you could have 15 to 17 year immunity having had it. So, I went to Kentucky twice
over the past few months. But the last thing I read was that it's long lasting. So, go with that one.
That's the way I'm operating.
Is that going to, is the vaccine going to handle that? And then half of them are like, yes. And half of them are like, well, you still got to test. And I'm going with all the optimistic articles.
Well, I'm optimistic. I've been, already this week when you start talking to, various, whether it's racetrack people or whether it's trainers, whatever, saying, hope to see you at, like, for instance, yesterday Rick Mocklin was on. And last year, I literally, right when things started to turn bad, I was about to embark on what was about a 5-week trip, from the 6-week trip from mid March to mid-April. I would have come home for the week and then turned around to go to Derby. And, you know, the first stop was New Orleans. And, you know, so I said to Rick Mocklin yesterday, I sure hope I can get to a Risen Star or a Louisiana Derby week for coverage. And that might be a little optimistic yet. The summer more and more seems like the likely target if we're lucky.
Yeah, and even that's looking a little dicey. I mean, I'm still my fingers crossed, but normally we make the trip down to the Florida Derby. We didn't do that last year. A couple of trips, Woodbine Mile and Queens Plate up to Woodbine, and didn't get to do that last year. And this year it's still kind of dicey as far as will those trips happen and how will things play out. I miss your trip because I can pull you in on a Sunday morning after a big stage race and get the boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground, baby.
Speaking of which, you said you were watching me during the holidays, and I will toss out there for folks who want to do that around the country. We went live on Roku on New Year's Eve. So we're kind of a sub-channel on the RTN Roku channel.
Yes.
So if people have an RTN package, they can pull us up, and they can also buy us separately monthly as well. But if folks want to watch a little Capital OTV and test it out, by all means, fire up the Roku. Fire up the coup, as the kids say. I don't know.
You're the greatest. I saw some people, and I do see it when I pull up my RTN feed, and it, right there, Capital OTB is right there as an option. So very cool. Got about 3 minutes, Seth. What are we looking at? You got Tampa, you got Gulfstream,
New Tampa
York.
Today.
Okay.
Thursday. No Tampa, but I looked at a little aqueduct. Let me just see, because I pulled up, just as you guys called, I pulled up the scratches. So I don't. What do we have? You said three. Let me, maybe the late pick four, although the seventh race is scratched, but that's okay. We'll do the late pick four. Let me just turn my pages here, and I'll pull up race number five, and we'll start off the fifth race.
Thursday.
No scratches in the fifth. I have it 1, 3, 5, and 7. Maiden Specialist going 6. Kid Cash on top. It's one of those where I think you can maybe draw a line through the turf race. The two races just before that are clearly ones that make this one the one to beat. But Chad and Klarovich have a runner in that seems to be on the improve and could be primed. So the 3 subsidized is also a player. And by Cantheros, the first are from John Terranova, Kwaimia River, clever name. The number 5, I think, is an interesting player as well. The second time started by Spitester, Nerves of Steel at 8-1 for Chris Englehart. They're playing a pick 4. Again, with that scratch-reduced field in the seventh, maybe you can go a little deep in here and pull in those couple of prices at the bottom. In the fifth, 1, 3, 5, 7. In the sixth, 2, 8, 5, and 3. Chasen Byrne on top. The last couple of races for the Jeremiah Englehart trainee were pretty good number-wise. Broke or went through the N2 L2 back. Tried this starter 50 last time, ran a decent third, got some experience at the level. Big Benny's Tribute seems to be on the improve a little bit, could be prime for Dave Donk. Amos, also a player on the recent numbers, and I think is going to fit nicely with this field. So sixth race, 2, 8, 5, and 3. In the seventh race, the 2 and the 5 scratch out, so this scratches down to a field of 4. I have it after the scratches, 6, 3, and 4. I'll put Someday Jones on top. Mike Maker off the claim, so we'll go in that direction. Mijos has some class as well for Jimmy Jerkins and could be a player. And then in the eighth race, no scratches in there, so the 8, 10, 6, 7, and 5. We'll put Breeze Bayou on top off the maiden breaker last time. Sometimes it takes horses a start or two to get through the next level, but sometimes, you know, they get in form and they're ready, and it's just looking at this field. Breeze Bayou, maybe can string a couple together. Shandian in the second spot. I'm going to draw a line through the last race. That was a first off the claim for Rudy, and boy, it was just too bad to believe. A little trouble in there. I think this horse is going to be better second off the claim for Rudy, so Shandian also in the mix. In the eighth and final at Aqueduct, 10, 6, 7, and 5.
Nice, and just looking
I'll
at
I'll also
that,
ask you a question. Maybe somebody in your audience knows. The last 2 weeks I've been in the studio on a Sunday, pulling up PPs for Wednesday when I come in next. And the last 2 weeks has been very funny. The PPs for Wednesday at Gulfstream have no numbers or morning line. Well, the PPs for Thursday do on Sunday. When I pull up the Wednesday, Thursday PPs for Gulfstream on a Sunday afternoon, all the info is there for the Thursday PPs, but not the Wednesday PPs. If somebody can solve that mystery for me, please do.
Huh. That's interesting. All right. That seventh race that you touched on today at Aqueduct, this is a quality allowance field,
yeah.
Third level allowance with Someday Jones back again, first off the claim. Our friend Will Schwartz, and of course he was terrific for Will Mainline, and now in the Maker Barn, looking at Bikinis, Mijos, as you mentioned, that little commissioner too.
Out, unfortunately,
who is?
Looking at Bikinis, the two and the five are out.
Okay, two and the five. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So cut down. Still, it's all right. Mijos and Commissioner and Someday. And what else? Fairgrounds two today. Gulfstream. I thought today was Wednesday. This week is a blur. Turfway tonight. Another phenomenal card again at Turfway tonight. Virtually all full fields. The smallest field is a 9-horse field in the feature. $50,000 conditional allowance for fillies and mares. So lots of good action. Tomorrow, weekend preview. Nick Tamaro will get excited about the Sam Houston opening day at Sam Houston tomorrow. And much more. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Thanks to Seth and Steve Askin, Tony Black, Dick Powell. Talk to you in the morning.